Welcome to the Messy Walk Podcast with Pastor Adam Cook, where our goal is to have a genuine and authentic conversation about the Christian faith journey and what a messy walk with Jesus really looks like. Make sure to follow us for future episodes that will be posted regularly each Wednesday. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Hey, welcome to the Messy Walk Podcast. I'm your host, Steph, here at Pastor Adam.
Hey.
So we started a new series in our last episode, 245. It's called Counterfeit Christianity. Yep. And we were talking about counterfeit grace.
Yes, really, really good episode to start this thing off with. It was I think it was really deep.
It was.
And I'll give you my good line again.
Oh, yeah.
So you can go back and be tempted about a Jesus who never confronts you is a Jesus you invented. Mm. Right. So go back and take a listen to that one if you want to. We're talking about different ways in which you can experience parts of Christianity that is counterfeit, that's a fake version of what's really intended to be. And so today we're going to talk about, so last week counterfeit grace, today we're going to talk about counterfeit worship. One of the biggest misunderstandings in modern Christianity is that we've reduced worship to music. Right, so if you asked people and you didn't tell them what you were doing, if you just said, "What's worship?" Almost everybody is going to say something to do with music. Right, it's going to be singing, and of course, in a modern church, you know, you're talking about modern worship music, but this still applies to hymns. Right, we've sort of relegated worship to music, and worship is much, much bigger than just music. Music can express worship, but music itself is not worship. Does that make sense?
Yes, right? It does.
So we can express it, but it's not by itself just... Like, for example, there is no Christian music, there's Christian lyrics, right? Like, if you just took a guitar that's playing with no lyrics, that's just music. Matter of fact, this is how I think about it in my mind. I could be completely off. Maybe I'm getting us off track because it's not in my notes, but... Either I think that music can be not Christian at all, or it can be all Christian, right? When we're talking about music. So, for example, a guitar that's playing with no lyrics, that's either just music and it's not Christian at all, or it's being played unto the Lord, and therefore, even though it doesn't have lyrics, it's music. It's Christian music. Does that make sense? So when you apply the lyrics, then all of a sudden you get something that's Christian or not Christian. So music is something that can express worship that we have, but in and of itself, it's not worship. Because worship is not primarily about singing and playing instruments. Worship is about surrender, right? This actually flows really good out of the grace episode that we talked about, because when you experience, like we talked about last week, when you experience real grace, what it leads you to is transformation. It leads you to surrender. And worship's not really about singing songs. It's not about, you know, playing an instrument. It's not singing hymns. It's not about praise. It's really about surrender, right? That's what worship is really about. And think about it. If you take it out of the context of music, well, that is what we are doing. Anytime we worship anything, we are surrendering to it, right? That's the whole point. So picture somebody coming into a king, right? Something holy, like you're watching something on Netflix, right? Some old time show, and you got this queen up on the throne, and people walk in. What do? They immediately bow down to the queen, right? Mm-hmm. Or they do that whole, we're not worthy, and they do their hands. That is literally the posture of worship. Mm-hmm. And so what they are doing is they are surrendering to the queen or the king. That's the actual picture that we have here. So worship's not about music. It is about actually surrendering. This is hard to admit as I start this off, right? This is hard to admit for me, but many people have become emotionally moved in church services without ever actually surrendering their lives to Jesus, right?
Yeah.
And that's because you can cry during worship music. It can stir your emotions and yet still resist God on Monday morning. You can raise your hands and still refuse to surrender. You can love worship culture and at the same time, avoid obedience, right? And there's a lot of this in the world around us. You can love this worship culture stuff and yet not really be obedient to the Lord that you are worshiping. Emotional experiences and spiritual transformation are not automatically the same thing.
That's right? So true.
You can have emotional experiences that don't transform you. Don't misunderstand me. Emotions are not bad. God created emotions. Your two podcast hosts are extremely emotional people.
Sensitive
Both of us are
baddies.
Very emotional people, right? Emotions aren't all bad. God made them. There's absolutely moments where worship should move us deeply in our emotions, but emotions are terrible foundations, right? They're not what you want to build everything on.
That's true.
Because feelings fluctuate, right? Like crazy. I mean, they change constantly. If you ever noticed how easy your feelings can change, you can have just a fine day. Everything's fine. You can have one thing go wrong in that entire day. And when somebody asks you at the end of the day, you go home, your husband, your wife, whoever asked you how things were today, you'll go, oh, it was okay. And then you'll reference the one bad thing that happened. Right?
Wow.
When about 9 million good things actually happened, right? So, you know what I mean? If you have ever had these things happen, you've ever had a flat tire, all of a sudden it's a horrible day, no matter what has happened, although it's just one little flat tire. Or your car breaks down. Everything else is fine. Your health's fine. Your job's fine. But your car breaks down. Now, all of a sudden, it's a horrible day. These are feelings fluctuating constantly.
Yeah.
I mean, you could be like me. You can wake up and nothing is wrong. All right, this is me almost every Monday morning. This is why I can't go with my feelings. We will have an amazing Sunday. So not this Sunday, but last Sunday. Well, I don't know when you listen to this, but in my mind, that's what I'm saying. We baptized 23 people.
That's right? Amazing.
We had 6 baby dedications, and we had 28 graduates we celebrated all in the same Sunday. And it was an amazing day. I felt like the message hit perfectly. We had people getting saved. Like, it was an amazing day. And Monday morning, I felt like the world was caving in, right? Just feelings. That's why I refuse to make any sort of, unless I absolutely have to, unless my feet are held to fire, I make no big decisions on Mondays. Because I've learned that my feelings are a bad foundation, right?
Yeah.
They're a bad foundation for life. Real worship goes deeper than feelings. That's what we're talking about. Right? Counterfeit worship is tied to feelings only. Counterfeit worship is tied to music only.
Yeah.
Right? Real worship is tied to surrender, and real worship goes deeper than our feelings. The best verse in your entire Bible on worship is not in Psalms. Right? It's not, it's not, I promise you. The best verse on worship in your entire Bible of what it really means is found in Romans. Steph, read Romans chapter 12, verse 1.
Okay. I'm trying not to laugh. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship.
All right, here we go. No, nothing about songs is referenced. I don't know if you caught that or not, but it said, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. That is literally the picture of surrender that we were talking about earlier. I said worship is surrender. That is literally the picture. Your body is a living sacrifice, right?
Wow.
That is your true and proper worship. So what Paul just described is what worship is it's surrendering. Worship is surrender. It's not a song. It's not a moment. It's not a feeling. It is a life. It is not just a lifestyle. It is your life being surrendered. It is real worship is you and I going, God, here's me and everything that I am, everything I have, everything I will be, and it's yours, right? I sacrifice all for you. I lay it down all for you. Because that's what happens, by the way, when you encounter real grace, right? We talked about this last episode. When you encounter real grace, then it begins to transform you. And when you realize, what happens is you realize how beautiful this grace is,
yeah,
and how thankful you are for it. And so then that leads you to worship by surrendering your whole life to him. That's what real worship is, not counterfeit worship. One of the ways that you can tell that you have bought into counterfeit Christianity is I think there's many Christians who love worship music more than they love Jesus. So if you love worship music more than you love Jesus, you have bought a counterfeit. You know, and I think there's a lot of people like this. I actually think there's a lot of church leaders like this.
Yeah.
Which is sad.
It is sad.
And not good, right? Like, not good. Where you love it's the same thing. You could apply this to church culture, where you love church and church culture more than you actually love Jesus, right? And unfortunately, there's a lot of pastors who will function from this temptation. It's a temptation that you end up loving your church more than you actually love Jesus. You end up pursuing your church more than you pursue Jesus, right? Mm. You pursue your worship feelings in the car, playing your music, getting your serenity on at home, getting all peaceful.
Or even on stage.
Yeah, only on stage. Then you pursue Jesus, mm-hmm. right? It's a telltale sign that you bought into counterfeit Christianity, counterfeit worship. Worship music can create an atmosphere that feels spiritual while requiring very little actual surrender, right? And part of this is hard to admit, part of this is our fault. We've gotten real good at creating emotional environments, right? We mm-hmm. use lighting to do that. I love lighting. I'm an cool. extreme emotional guy, right? Mm-hmm. We talked about this a minute ago. I'm a very, very emotional person. And so I really like for my sermons, the vibe and flow of the service, the worship we do, for it to create an emotional setting, right? And so we use lights to create emotion. We use building music to do that with. We use moments within it and transitions and services to create this moment. I just recently dumped, I told you this and Jonathan the other day, I recently dumped a bunch of my sermons into AI and asked it to tell me, like, just give me a synopsis of how I preach. And that was one of the things it pointed out, was it pointed out that I like to take big theology thoughts in Scripture and then walk them through and build them into a big moment, right? Into almost like a reveal moment, or it constantly builds. And so I'm part of the problem here, right, where we use worship services and things to create these building moments, right? And so it does create an atmosphere that feels very spiritual, right? But if it doesn't actually lead to real surrender, then it's not real.
Yeah.
It's counterfeit. It's fake. And so we got to be careful about this. Emotional intensity is not the same thing as spiritual depth.
That's good.
And there are a lot of people yep. that you will encounter who have this emotional intensity about Jesus that does not automatically necessitate that they are spiritually no. deep, right? Matter of fact, I think this whole spiritual deep thing, I think the enemy loves to play games with this and make people think that they're not spiritually deep, or make other people think that they are.
Yeah.
Right. I just talked about this in youth a couple of weeks ago. If you show me somebody who's 60 years old and knows a ton of scripture, right? Just every time you turn around, they can just repeat it, right? They memorized a bunch. They're in the word a lot. And yet they don't actually practice it. They're not mature just because they know a bunch of the scripture, right? They would be immature Christians yep, at best, right? Like the enemy, Satan himself, knows tons of scripture. Mm-hmm. Right now I'm in the middle of writing a sermon series about Jesus' temptations in the wilderness. And one of the biggest things that stands out to you in that is how much scripture the enemy knows, right? He knows a lot of it. But that does not mean he's a mature Christian.
Right.
So if you took somebody who's 60 who knows a ton of scripture but they don't practice it, they're immature. Now you give me a 12-year-old though. Give me a 12-year-old kid who knows 4 or 5 verses and actually lives them out. The 12-year-old's the mature Christian, not the 60-year-old who knows a bunch of Bible but doesn't live it out. Right? That the mature one here is the one that's actually living out the word, right? And so the person who appears very spiritually intense does not mean that they are actually spiritually mature, right?
Yeah.
And what I've actually found that the people who are the most spiritually mature don't feed into the emotional, spiritual intensity crap as much as people who are mature, who are mature. You know what I'm saying? I lost my spot.
You're trying to say immature?
Yeah, what'd I say?
You said the mature or something, then mature again.
Oh, yeah. So what I meant was is that people who are mature in their faith, right, uh-huh. they don't pay as much attention to this idea of being so spiritually intense and emotional, right?
Yeah.
The immature people tend to pay much more attention to the emotional part and less towards actual real surrender.
Like change.
You know what I mean? Like,
that makes sense,
sure.
Yes.
And so people can become addicted to this feeling of worship without ever developing a life of worship, right? And that's the danger to it.
Yeah.
And that's what counterfeit worship's calling you to. It's really calling you to want this feeling, right?
Yeah.
Want this vibe, want this emotion, want this spiritual high, right?
Yeah.
And what real worship is actually calling you to is to develop a life, right, of surrender, right? Offering your bodies as living sacrifices. You know what I mean? Like, that's your true and proper worship. It's a lifestyle of worship, not it being emotionally intense and spiritual highs all the time. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
That's the whole point. So worship that only exists in a room isn't worship. It's counterfeit because real worship follows you home, right? And so one of the ways you can sort of tell if you have bought into this counterfeit worship is if all of it goes on in the course of a song, right, or in the course of a church service, right? And if you find that when you're what you would describe in your life as worship is when you're at church singing or when you're in the car singing, that's not real worship. It's counterfeit because real worship's following you home in all of your daily life. If you want to check whether or not you bought into real worship or counterfeit worship, compare yourself from Sunday to Monday, right? You're supposedly in at least emotional surrender to Jesus on Sunday in the middle of their worship. But are you then in surrender to Jesus on Monday when the song ain't playing, right? And the church lights ain't going, right? And the preacher ain't preaching. You know what I mean?
Like, and there's not like a lot of people around you.
Right. No, nobody's paying attention.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because surrender means letting God challenge, confront, and change things. And some people want Jesus close enough to comfort them, but not close enough to actually confront them, which is what we talked about in the last one. And the point of worship is for us to be in surrender to him, which means we're closer and closer to him. So if you get closer and closer to Jesus, guess what you get closer and closer to? More of him confronting the mess in your life that's not of him. You know what I mean? One of the most dangerous things in church culture is that people can learn how to look worshipful, right? We know the language that we're supposed to say to look all worshipful. We know the posture.
Yep.
We know the hand moves or the head tilts or, you know,
football goal.
Right. The carry the large TV.
Yes.
Right. We know all these things. We know the head bow, the eye close. We know the reverent poses. We know the songs. We know the responses that we're supposed to have.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so we end up looking worshipful instead of actually being worshipful. That's what counterfeit worship does, is it makes you look like this is what's going on, but it's really not the case. Jesus says it makes you look like the outside of your cup is real clean, but the inside ain't. And Jesus is going, it's the opposite. Who cares if the outside of the cup has a coffee stain on it, right? If the inside is clean.
Yeah.
Right? If the inside is clean, then we're good to go. Because I'm not licking the outside of the cup. You know what I mean? And what happens is, what Jesus refers to with that is he's talking to the Pharisees about being actually holy, not pretending to be holy.
Yeah.
And counterfeit worship leads you into this fake outward thing that is emotionally driven and everybody sees the response.
Yeah.
But if it's not transforming you on the inside, then it's not real worship. Worship equals surrender, right? It doesn't equal singing.
Right.
It doesn't equal show. It doesn't equal emotions.
Mm-mm.
It equals surrender, right? And so that whole outside the cup thing, that's what he's talking about. Like, you don't want to be the person who learns how to look worshipful. You want to be the person who actually is. Watch this. This is the most terrifying verse. Isaiah 29:13. Watch this. Now, what God is doing is he's speaking through the prophet Isaiah to the people of Judah. Right? Because the people of Judah have become real good at looking like they are worshipful to God. All right? Terrifying. 29:13.
Yeah. The Lord says, "These people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is based on merely human rules they have been taught."
It's in vain, he says. They come to me with their lips and their mouths and their lip service and their singing. That's exactly what he's talking about, by the way. And their empty praises. And yet their hearts are far away, right? That's counterfeit. It's terrifying that God can see and know this, right? And yet somehow or another we can't. Like, wake up if this is you, right? And seriously, it's all of us in some ways. But wake up, because he knows when he's getting lip service. Mm-hmm. He knows when he's just getting an emotional response versus a heart that is close. In other words, once again, yet another biblical reference to God caring much more about the heart change on the inside than what the outside looks like or sounds like or feels like, right? He cares about the heart change. And he's saying these people, they look real worshipful. They know all the moves. They can carry the TV, right? They can do the football post?
Football goal, right? Yeah.
They know the songs. They know all this stuff. And yet their hearts are far from me. That verse right there proves to us that external worship can exist without internal surrender. You can have external worship without actually having internal surrender. That's what's scary about that verse.
Yeah, it is.
That's what's scary. What's scary about that is you can have people who do all this on the external and don't really have internal surrender. Right?
Yeah.
And we end up caring so much about that external part and not enough about the internal surrender.
Yeah.
That's a scary verse, because he knows the difference, right? He sees the difference. And so ask yourself, would my private life confirm what my public worship claims? Right? If my public worship claims, so think about this. If my public worship claims Jesus is amazing, I give him full surrender. I mean, think of all the lyrics you sing, right? Mm-hmm. He's got it all, right? I love Jesus. Your public worship is proclaiming he is Lord and he is Savior. Does your private life confirm what your public life claims? Right?
Yep.
That's how so you good. Know whether or not you bought counterfeit worship, counterfeit Christianity, or real worship, real Christianity. Worship is the posture of a surrendered life. It is, and it builds on last week, I have encountered real grace. I don't know what to do with this big ball of grace except for surrender my whole life to the one who gave me this grace. And that's worship, right? That's worship. The act of us worshiping in song is just a picture of our life being surrendered to him in worship. So stop asking, did worship move me? And start asking, did worship change me, right?
Yeah.
Did worship change me? Because worship, surrender to God, will change us, right? And stop worrying about whether or not this moved my heart or stirred my emotions. Is this actually changing me? Am I surrendering more to Jesus or not? Because counterfeit worship is chasing moments, right? Real worship is producing surrender, right? And I know this because I think part of it's good and God's made it, right? And then part of it's sinful, that I crave these emotional moments. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I crave them. And it's like part of that's just how God made me. I'm an emotional guy, right? I cry every single time I preach, every single time. I pretty much cry somehow or another every day.
Right? Yeah, that's how I feel that.
Pretty much every day. And I mean, I'm not talking about boohoo crying. I'm talking about, like, you know, just your eyes well up with tears, yeah, right? And so a song makes me do that, or I'll think of something, or it'll be a heartbreak thing that kind of, it breaks my heart. And so I don't know, I cry every day. So I'm now this emotional person. And what I find is that I'm constantly chasing, if I don't watch, I'm chasing these emotional moments.
Totally.
Instead of choosing to just chase surrender. Just surrender to God, right? And not worry about whether or not it gives me some emotional high.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And counterfeit worship is all based on those feelings, those emotions, the outside of the cup, mm-hmm, right? It's all based on that. And that in itself and by itself alone is not going to lead to what real worship looks like, right? Real worship is surrender. And I actually think, so the more that, the reason I said this is, the more that I begin to crave, God, I'm just surrendering to you. What's funny is the emotional moments come instead of it being the other way around, right? So anytime I'm like craving emotional moments, emotional, spiritual highs, spiritual moments, mm-hmm, when that's the pursuit, it never really leads me to surrender.
Yeah.
But when I'm surrendering, you know what I'm saying? When I'm like, God, I give you everything. Or even just as simple as, God, I can't do this. I need to put this in your hands. Then all of a sudden, as very shortly after that, I will experience the spiritual moment that I was looking for to begin with. It actually works.
It's genuine.
Yeah. It works the other way around, right? Because think about it from God's perspective. Why would God reveal himself in a deeper way to people who are exploiting his grace and using his worship as him instead of him, right?
Right.
Why would God reveal himself deeper to Adam Cook if I am not surrendering to him more and more, right? I don't think he will. But if I surrender to him more and more, if I worship him with my life, then I do think that he reveals more of himself to me in that, which then leads me to the spiritual emotional moment that I want anyway. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yes.
So this is a pretty good one. I like the first one the best, but this is very rampant in the church, right?
I'm actually quite passionate about this.
most of modern worship music is built with this in mind, mm-hmm. instead of built with surrender in mind. We write and sing in a way that elicits an emotional response, and I think that that might be part of the, like, I'm not saying that's the reason we do all of it, but I think that that ends up being a sinful reason sometimes why we do it.
You know it's because of that, like you said earlier, just get caught up in the culture.
Yeah, yeah.
That's definitely why.
For sure. And then, you know, modern worship music follows the modern church, right? It's not the way other way around, by the mm-hmm. way, right? The music follows the context of the modern church. And so as the church begins to morph and change, worship follows that. And so what that means is that the modern church then, and we're a part of this, mm-hmm. the modern church is setting itself up in a way that elicits emotions and values these emotional, spiritual, climactic feels, which I just said to you in the beginning. I said, I preach this way. I preach in a climactic way. We value that. We set it up. We create the tone, right? We control all the lighting. We control all the way those things work. So we elicit it. And so worship music has started to be formed out of that. Well, if we're going to write a song, we have to write it in a way that elicits this emotional response. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so it's just kind of, like you said, it's coming out of the culture of what we're in. But what we have to do is we have to make sure that we are using that for the benefit that it is.
Right.
But it's not, we're not buying into the counterfeit version of what worship is. And we're definitely not teaching people that what real worship is the emotional high that you get when you sing a song.
Right. Yeah, or the chills or whatever. Correct. I used to correct. Hear people say.
Yes. Yeah, correct. Because what ends up happening is we end up seeking the chills instead of seeking God.
Yeah.
Right? The chills become our Lord.
Yeah.
You know, the emotional True. Response becomes, I know this because I've felt it.
I've done right? that before.
The
yeah.
emotional response becomes mm-hmm. our Lord, right? Right. The tears become our Lord instead of the Lord being the Lord. You know what I mean? And Him breaking our heart for what breaks His. You
yeah.
know what I'm saying? Like, that's the key. And so, recap all this. I just smacked this table. Worship is really surrender of our whole lives. If this is part that you yeah. struggle with, if you're like, I don't know, all you need to do, don't listen to us anymore. Just go read Romans chapter 12, especially that first verse, the first couple of verses. Just read it over and over and over again. It will give you a very clear picture. It's the best worship verse in the entirety of the Bible. It tells you exactly what worship is, and it challenges you to lay down anything else that you have thought what real worship is.
Yeah.
Right? It is you offering your bodies as a living sacrifice. Right? That's real worship. So there is way more real worship found in you going, God, I'm going to work today where you have called me to go to work, and I don't really like it, and you know it, and it's bothering me, whatever, but you have sent me here, and so I am coming in here, and you are the Lord of my work day. Guide me in this day. You brought me here. You've got a purpose for me. I'm going to do your purpose. That is way more worshipful on a Monday morning than every single song you sang and every tear you cried on a Sunday.
That's so good.
That's what the Bible
wow.
said.
Yeah.
And that's what Paul said in Romans 12. That's what he meant. It's not about this emotional response or singing.
Yeah.
It is how we live our lives. And it's not just living in a good way. It's offering. It's surrender.
Yeah. Right? You're right.
If you get to thinking about if you can do this, you can, if you want to, some of you are nerds, if you're still listening, you can go read all of these things we were talking about in the beginning about these ways in which we respond to or interact with kings and queens throughout history, and pay attention to the posturing, to the words and language used, right? To the approaches, when do you approach, when do you not? You start looking at all that, you'll find what the picture of surrender really looks like. And that is what worship really is, right? It's pretty cool, actually. Anyway, that's all I got. Next week, I have no idea what the next one is. I know we're doing counterfeit humility.
Counterfeit
repentance.
Ooh.
And I know we're doing, I like this one too. We're going to do counterfeit community.
Yeah, when you said that, I was like, ooh, I want to know what that is.
Fake community versus real community. I'm excited about that. That one's a good one too, right? I started working on that one already.
Oh, we're getting convicted, y'all.
Yeah, for sure. But if you missed the first episode, go back and take a look. 245, Counterfeit Grace. That was a good setup for this one. And they fit together really well, like we said before.
Yeah.
If you encounter real grace, then it will lead you to real worship. If you encounter counterfeit grace, then it'll lead you to counterfeit worship. So.
Yay.
Bada bing, bada boom.
Exactly.
Hey, we did good tonight, Steph. Y'all don't know this in the background, but it's only 7 o'clock at night.
Hey.
We're usually here until much later than that. So,
like, probably 8-ish.
Yeah.
Sometimes it can be close to 9. It's whenever we can, like, try to hurry up so he can go pick up his children.
Yeah, but we did good tonight. Yes. Real good.
I think Jonathan's probably ready for dinner.
I don't know how we did that. That's pretty good.
Started earlier.
Yeah, but we was talking like we normally do.
True.
I guess you got here a little earlier.
Maybe that's what it was. I was able to get here a little earlier.
Maybe that's what it was. I don't know. We did good, though. We did good. Recording session over.
Yes. Welcome Everyone, that's the background.
End. Welcome to the end.
The end.
Land this plane, Steph.
All right. Thank you all for joining us, and we'll see you next week.
See you later.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us on the Messy Walk Podcast with Pastor Adam Cook. Make sure to follow us for future episodes that will be posted regularly each Wednesday. Have a good day.